Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10. I hope I have your attention tonight. Till I'm done. Hallelujah. As a church, as a ministry, and as a people, a couple of months we've been praying and waiting on the Lord, as we always do. And the Lord is speaking to us in a certain direction. And a local church must be built on the written word and learn to flow and follow the leading of the Spirit. A local church must be built on the written word, and in being built on the written word, learn to flow and follow the leading of the Spirit. And it's very vital. If you look at the book of Acts, inasmuch as they were walking in the fulfillment of Scripture, they were often led by the Spirit, so often, in decisions they took, places they went to, even certain things that they were not aware God was doing. They were led by the Spirit of God. And so it's of note that a church that is sound in doctrine has to be built on the leading of the Spirit. Let me put it that way. Has to be given to the leadings of the Spirit, where you are so led by the Spirit of God. As a church, says community church, we've had times that we have put things to plan and put things to do, and in the place of praying and just waiting on the Lord, we found that we shouldn't do them. Not that we couldn't do them. We could have done them and people would have clapped for us and said, wow, what a blessing. But in waiting upon the Lord a little bit more, there's something I'm going to teach in January about leading of the Spirit. I'm going to deal with that a little bit more. I won't tell you the title yet. But the leading of the Spirit. Two days ago, into today, as I often will do as well, in knowing things you want to do, because sometimes it's very wise to check with others certain things you sense God is telling you. Because over time, you probably have observed that at times your thoughts, they creep into those things. So it's sometimes wise to check, particularly with people that you know are sound in doctrine and understand the Holy Ghost. It's always wise to also do that, because many of us can be very strong-willed, purposeful, and decisive, even though they are positive traits, but sometimes they can be on the negative side, where you have made up your mind, carried out your actions, then justified. And you will succeed. As it is with men, they will clap for you. I've told you the story many times, how I was invited to South Africa a couple of years ago. Actually, it's now 21 years. It looks like a couple of years ago. It looks like yesterday to me. 21 years is not far. And I went there on a diplomatic passport. It was very well arranged. That the way it was arranged, you would say, this is the favor of God. Everything was well set. And it was, to know how fun it was when I landed at the airport, was the first time I found out whether I was meant to go or not. Imagine, I was already in the plane, no prayer. I was just going to preach and bless people. I got there at the airport. It was the first time I checked in word witness. What are you doing here? And I went there. And some people think that the sign of that will be maybe the plane will have turbulence. No, there was no turbulence. Was a smooth journey. In fact, it was places where I'm led to go that is turbulence. Smooth journey. In fact, it got to a point that I was preaching for many churches, and in a few days, I spoke for about 11 churches. It got to a point, because of the number of time I had, some churches were basically saying, whoever gets to my guest house first. So it was successful. However, in fact, those people who were around me then, some of them are here. Not some of them. One of them is here, actually. Didn't even know. Because I was the only one that knew. My very good friend that had been my friend for years. As soon as I came back, he said, God told him that, look at Shegun. Shegun is enjoying obeying my will. My friend. Because the doors were open. You know, I was so smooth. I met another person. In fact, it was in that trip that I met one of Brother Copeland's close associates. So everything was good. Regine Wilson gave me an original copy of his songs. So everything was looking fine. But I was the only one that knew that I was not meant to be there. So sometimes it's not about people celebrating you. If you are looking for the will of God, never test it with human applause. It is the wrongest, pardon my grammar, mode of checking. Sometimes the proof that God sent you is that people are going to say no. Let me give you a small one. The proof that Jesus was the Christ, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's how he fulfilled the prophecy. So you can go on and see that. So you must know how to be led by the Spirit of God. That's why as a pastor, I've endeavored in, at least I think I've maintained it for 24 years now. There's no year I don't teach the leading of the Spirit. There's no year. I'll find a way to teach it. There are some subjects I always teach, leading of the Spirit, walking in love. Every year. Every year. Because those are the practice of Christianity. You mustn't put it past. So at this time as well, we have things that the Spirit of God will emphasize for us as a churches, and in a place like this where we have come together. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Observe this. If you mind, you can read Colossians 4:12 and say something similar, where he says, I'll start from 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Verse 10. Can we take 10 together? Night and day, praying exceedingly. Hold on, look at that. Night and day. Now when Paul says night, the Jewish mode of night is when? 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then day is what? 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So that is literal here, or just summarizing the regularity of prayer. And he says, exceedingly that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I wish I had time today, but I'm going to stress this later. Look at the importance. He wrote them a letter. Yet it was crucial that they saw face to face. You know, today, we have allowed technology to dictate the faith to us. People who come for a meeting, they say, I will get it online. Some people say, I can watch it at home. Paul is saying, I have written you a letter, but I'm praying intensely so that I will see you face to face. The same thing, John will say, there are certain things he will have loved to write, but he will say it face to face. After writing Rome, Paul says, pray so that I will come to you safely and see you face to face. Christianity cannot be dictated to by human inventions. Never forget that. God did not send us a letter. He sent us his son. A person. You and I must know the importance of being among believers. Not in a virtual state where you are chatting and then you are, no. He said face to face. He wrote them a letter. The letter carries so much power that we are teaching it today and it's blessing our lives. Yet he says face to face. But that's not my emphasis today. And he says, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. That which is lacking. So Paul is saying, the reason why I'm coming is to perfect what is not there. What is not there. We bless God for the realities of the word, where the believers will say in Colossians 2:9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the body bodily, and 10, you are complete in him. You pray the Ephesians prayer. The God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the exceeding greatness, verse 19, of his power to all who believe, according to the word of the Bible, which was in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and my Lord, heaven's praise, power, all praise, power, might, and dominion, the name of the Lord, will be to come. Put out under his feet, give me all the things to join his body, the fullness of him, fill it all in all. And you, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you, Ephesians 2, 1. You read all of that. You read Ephesians 2, 10. And it says, you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You might, God had ordained beforehand that you might walk in them. Realities of the word. Truths about who I am in Christ. But in reading that and understanding that, there is now the walk in those truths. The practice of Christianity, in which all believers are not in the same place. All believers are not in the same place in that practice of Christianity. We are all one and the same in Christ. We are all found in the Spirit of God, Romans 8, 9 and 10. We are all found with the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. One Spirit with him. We are all the house and temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19. However, in the practice of Christianity, you cannot use identification truths. You have to use practical, everyday facts. So it's in that practice that we live. I'm going to touch a few things in this conference as well. Because, you know, some of those things can be over said, and sometimes extremely said. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 9, Paul brings the same thing to mind. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong, and so we wish, this also we wish, even your perfection. Then he says in 10, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect and of good comfort. The one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and the peace be with you. So he emphasizes a perfection that is growing up, that is putting things that are not there there. Something like that. In another place, in 2 Corinthians 8, just before now, he had mentioned the issue of giving that was found in the church in Thessalonica, and Macedonia, pardon me. Then he says something that we shouldn't lose. Before I say that, let me mention what he says in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty, talking about the church in Macedonia, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints, to the saints. And this they did, watch this, not as we hoped, but first gave their own lives to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Hear this well. You see, where a man gives materially and does not give himself to the service of God, there's no reward to it. Your material giving is not a replacement for your commitment and dedication to the work of ministry. Your material giving ought to be a proof of it, or ought to be what corresponds with it, not a substitute. Some have felt, well, if I don't go to preach the gospel, I can give. Very nice. One of the men that I really respect, that's Pastor Riyad Bonke. I know some of you know me, I've heard this before. Right from my secondary school, I started partnering with Riyad Bonke. Secondary school. Not university, it was secondary school. Despite the fact that I was doing that, it was not a substitute. That after all, Riyad Bonke is winning souls. My money is winning it with him. You need deliverance. If you think that way. No! You give. Your giving is because you are involved in what he is doing. A guy asked me one time, he said, sir, can I pay for living one video for a year? I said, why? Did we tell you we needed you to pay? I said, what you need to do first and foremost is to believe what is there and practice it. Of course, he didn't believe it. And I knew it. It's not false giving. That's why I tell pastors, be careful of members with good money that may buy your sincerity. There is nobody that doesn't like money. If you don't like money, give me the one in your pocket. Say, I don't love money, it's root of all evil. Don't worry, give me the root. I'll help you chase away the evil. If you are a pastor and somebody says, pastor, sorry, I just a little change for you, and you check your account and you see 10 million naira. Except you want to lie, you won't pray in tongues for that, and you pray in understanding. You will pray in understanding. Because the ones for tongues say, the mind does not understand. This is what you want to understand what you are saying. In fact, you will pray in your own native language. How do you find people like that? This is the reason why the apostles ensured that people gave in subjection to the apostles' doctrine so that nobody will control individuals in the local church. Money can be used as a tool of manipulation. Politicians use it very often. Excellently well. In fact, if you are in Nigeria, the way they do it, 24 hours before an election, they will spread the money. So people will collect from four politicians at the same time, and they will vote. Can go on and on and on like that. The same can happen in a local church. You just develop a soft spot for that person that gave you a car. Just give you a car, gave you a driver with it. I say, pastor, do you need a new house? You want to say no. Say, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things, the Lord God made them all. It's just like new songs will just come to you. You know? You get it? So, it's a tool for manipulation. Therefore, to know how genuine a giver is, check the dedication to the ministry outside material gain. The material giving must correspond. Somebody came to church and made a commitment and said, can I pay for so and so? I said, no. This is your first time. How do you know next week we will not give you voodoo to drink? You're not sure. Next week I can just call into the pastor's room and say, close your eyes. Open it. And you see a bird flying. So, why not take your time, come week after week, then be convinced before you pull out your checkbook. It didn't come again. Did I need the money? I still do. But the point is, there's first things first. As a pastor, you have to be careful. There are some people who will show love to pastor. Oh, anything pastor needs, they will supply. They are the angel of his presence. You are hungry, they look for this, and then you almost be unwilling to ask, where are your disciples? So that the gift will not stop. You'll say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So you say, I miss evangelism. Oh, I understand the nature of your work. They have said to the pastor. Do you understand? So it is a litmus test. So you stop looking at people according to the color of their currency. No currency has color. 50 naira has its own color. 200, 1000. Then you start seeing dollars. Then you start speaking in unknown tongue. So you have to be careful. They gave their lives first. That's important. You are not in church. You don't come to pray. You don't come to study. We don't see you on outreaches. Why are you giving? What's the giving for? You are giving to something you are not involved in. You have to check that. I say that to many of us who are young preachers. As a younger preacher, and my friends can bear witness of this, those who are around, my first years of honorarium, I can't remember how many years now, I didn't spend a dime in honorariums. In fact, there was one honorarium I got in one meeting. The honorarium was so much that I gave it back to the ministry in tears. I can't say it was willingly. It is a lie. But I had to willingly will it. I just gave it. Someone would say, what a commitment. What kind of commitment is that? So I needed the money. Imagine dropping the money back and having to take bus back home. Yes, for years. So that you will know where your heart is. So you know where your heart is. You cannot start ministry with money collection. You are going to compromise many things. Let's go further. So he says, they gave unto us by the will of God. Now, let's read verse 6 together. Let's take verse 6 together. 2 Corinthians 8. Let's go. In so much that we desired, Titus, that as he had begun, so he should finish in you the same grace also. That word finish means to perfect it. Which means that something was lacking in Corinth. There are churches, there are times as a church, you find out what is lacking in this ministry. But today, some people are not objective. Because what they think is lacking in the ministry is sound system. What do you think is lacking in your ministry? Sir, if we change our venue. What do you think is lacking in your ministry? Sir, I think it's the way the chairs are. They are too hard. Sir, is the AC? It's too hot. What is lacking in your ministry? Meeters and greeters. Fine girls that can stay outside and welcome you. These ones are too prayerful. I want the ones that will say, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Or they'll put petals of rose for people to come in. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What is lacking in your ministry? You say, we don't have multimillionaires. You are not just badly trained. You have been horribly trained. That he will finish the same grace. Spiritual reality. He now mentions diligence, faith, love, faith, utterance, sorry, knowledge, diligence, and love, that you are bound in this grace also. So there are moments like that we know something is lacking. It's lacking. As a preacher of the word, I'm going to share this tomorrow. One of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I'm grateful to God I learned it early enough, because I never wanted to be a pastor. In fact, the earlier stages, I started a ministry, handed over to some folks so that they can pastor. I did it twice, believing I wasn't called to pastor anybody. I was just referring across the body of Christ, like the angel of the churches. This is not a disrespect to those who don't pastor. That's just me. Okay, don't take it personal or personally. Now, he says something is lacking. I said, I love Brother Hagin. Don't be a specialist. Some folks are specialists. They're just areas of scripture that they have decided to build their headquarters in. When you ask a question in Ezra, they say, forget it. He greater than Ezra is here. When he said Nehemiah, he says, Polutropos Polumeros. Who taught you? They say, I am the Son, the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. Somebody said to me a couple of days ago, he said, I am God on 2 feet. I said, are you trying to make a skit? Because no sane human being should say what you have said. You require a psychiatrist. Because you know it's mad people that say they are God. It's only one that is insane that says he's God. So we need to get you a doctor. Sir, but sir, am I not the word of God? I said, how? He said, because these realities are real in me. Let's go further. Lest I get distracted. And finish the same in you. In other words, there are times like that, as a pastor, now as a Christian, you ask yourself, what is lacking? There's no lack in us. Yes, us. But you. Not us. Us is identification. You. You know, a man once said, you don't need to believe. Jesus has believed. On TV. I said, believe what? Jesus has believed that Jesus rose from the dead. He said, we are only receivers of what he has believed. I said, check this man's diet. Something has been put inside. A strange object has entered. How can you say he has believed? And God believed Abraham. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. You know? But some people, like when they write on Facebook, you say, wow, deep. I never saw it before. So why did you now see it? So we have areas of lack. At times, the Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus within us, through different means, will point our attention to it. Check what this is lacking. While this is not there, it's not in your practice that we may perfect that which is lacking in your Christian walk. When we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10. In 2 Corinthians 3:16, verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise even unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. Now the word child there is the word brephos, which is used for an infant. Obviously he's talking about Timothy's spiritual infanthood. Then it says in 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, pay attention, is profitable for doctrine, the didasclea. It says, for reproof, where you have convincing or conviction. Then it says, for correction, epanathosis, which means to set things right. Then it says, instruction into righteousness. The word padieu in the Greek, which means to train up a child. So, we do have the word for training. If there was nothing lacking, then there will be no need for instructions. There will be no need for correction. There will be no need for training. It's vital to understand this. If there was no such need, then the scriptures would not be given for that purpose. That's why you find the same word in Hebrews 12 and 5. Do not forget that exhortation. Hebrews 12 and 5, the writer of Hebrews uses the same word, and he says, "Who speak unto you as unto children, despise not thou that chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him." And he uses father-son relationship, where a father gives the son instructions to follow. You see it in verse 7, verse 11, and so on and so forth. And this gives you a background of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book of a father-son relationship that brings instruction. I hope in the next year I'll be able to teach Proverbs, but I'm sure I'll teach the book of Psalms in 2020. Proverbs in 2021. But if you look at the book of Proverbs, in the opening chapters, if we're allowed to restrict ourselves to that, in verse 8, chapter 1, "My son, hear the instruction of your father." Chapter 1, verse 8. There you find it also in chapter 1, verse 15, "My son." Chapter 1, verse 10, "My son." "My son." Chapter 2, verse 1, "My son." Chapter 2, or chapter 3, verse 1, "My son." That's a father to a son. Now you find in verse 11 again, "My son." It goes on and on. Verse 21, "My son." Chapter 4. Okay, "You children, the instruction of a father." Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 20. "My son, attend to my words." Chapter 5, verse 1. And on and on and on. So that is the padiaho. That is child training via instruction, wisdom, understanding. Some of them are born out of experience. That's why Paul will say that a bishop must not be a novice, an inexperienced person. When you have a young man in ministry that just started, he will use his members as guinea pig. It's not a sin. It is just the sin. S-C-E-N-E. He will try many things, program upon program. He will change different programs. He will change the theme. The theme, it will bring many speakers and loudspeakers. He will do all sorts. He will use them, for he is still growing. So he's a novice. He's a novice. But the interesting part is that he will grow up using the members as part of his experience. And some of them will fall along the wayside, even get offended. Some of them will run away. They will feel bad. But in the process, he is growing. Hallelujah. Someone told me one day, he said, "People are leaving our church. There is no church that people don't leave. It's just that the more you are, you will not notice that way. People come and go. Just ensure that you keep reaching men." That's it. He said, "Sir, it was really, really bad." I said, "Because you are seen in a dream. That as you start out, the nations will appear in your first meeting. That's why it's called a vision." You have to cool down. Do you understand? So you find father, son, part of it are experience. What the father knows by the virtue of wisdom and understanding. So therefore it means the corrections of scripture are family instructions. They are family instructions. Instructions of a father to a son. Or instructions among brethren who belong to the same father. That is why when Paul gave the instruction in 1 Corinthians 5 concerning the brother, we have already even given an alias, Corinthian brother. That's if you are kind, or Corinthian fornicator, where you are literal. And Paul says you should judge And put away among yourselves, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 13, that wicked person, badly translated in the King James, that wicked thing. Talking about the work of the flesh. It's believed that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it was the same brother that he encouraged them to welcome back into company. However, notice something in chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where giving instruction as those who disobey his instructions. He says in verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, not that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Many of you are very poor at this. When this happens, you now start having undue pity. You now say, well, I understand. No. What will make the brother or sister correct his or herself is by not having company with the person. That is the instruction of the word. Don't you just get emotional and say, but I understand how he feels. I understand how she feels. Are you the thermometer of the body of Christ? Your own part there is to obey that instruction of keeping away. It doesn't mean you won't love the person. That's why he gives an accompanying instruction. He says, if any man obey not my word by this epistle, not that man, and I have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Verse 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, in the middle of keeping away, you are meant to admonish. Admonish there means to want to caution and to tell the person the implications of bad behavior. Don't do that. It's wrong. You are not supposed to give a listening ear. Now, people like that in churches, they say they have a listening ear. You hear things like, I like Brother Konile Ogbele. He has a listening ear. Pastor doesn't listen. Pastor also doesn't listen. But there's this brother in this fellowship. Very lovely brother, very lovely sister. She has an accommodating spirit. She can listen to you. She will take time and hear your story. Loving sister or brother. Those are divisive members of local churches. I tell people oftentimes, if you want to start a church, go and start. Don't divide one. Go and start accommodating ministries or accommodating Spirit International ministries where you are, you just put your ear on the pulpit so that you can be listening to everything. Divisive tendencies. I remember years ago when because I used to attend a church in the morning on Sundays because our ministry there was meeting in the evenings. So I went to this church and there was a rebuke by the pastor of his music leader. It was a public rebuke, very strong. In fact, that day, I heard some things about Achan I never knew. every pastor knows where to bring those things. You all bring it out. So I say, I can't be Achan, I'm in Christ. I can see it. Achan is work of the flesh. Are you not walking in the flesh? Is there not a greater, this is not greater than Achan? So when it was done, even the person wonders, he said, you greet yourself after church. How about you? So this brother now came to my house to, in the evening, before our fellowship meeting, Emoji, what do you think the pastor was saying? Say about what? Say, that brother now, was that not too harsh? I said, bros, carry your cuffs out of my house. I'm not the pastor of the place. I'm taking the correction the man gave to everybody. And what was it about? Giving a counter instruction behind the pastor. So I'm just thinking, are we not under grace? Say, take your disgrace out of my house. I don't have time for this nonsense. If you wanted to confront the man, you'll have raised your hand in service. Sir, do we look alike? The man is yellow and black. He says, for you treat him as a brother. Not like an enemy. Now imagine correcting your brother at home, your sister at home. Though that may have conditions. Some of us can get physical. I've seen siblings break bottle. Go and check their DNA. And they break bottle. Pa, pa, pa. I will kill you today. So this is Christian brother, okay? How do you correct a child? That's what he's saying here.
Not like an enemy.
Look like an enemy. And when such correction goes on in the local church, that's not the time to gossip about it. Did you hear? I hear. That's how Pastor Hugh rebuked Sister Mupeo. I've been saying it. She's been somehow. You are mad. No, I'm not talking figuratively. It's spiritually speaking. You are not okay. It is not for gossip. No. When a pastor rebukes church members like that, it is not for another fellowship meeting where you create a place you are discussing it. You have to know what is not your business. We'll get to that. So it says like a brother, not like an enemy. Now, let me get to the nitty-gritty of the matter. In times and seasons, as a pastor, or in your relationships where you have people who are under you that the Lord has put you over them, there are times that the Spirit of God will bring certain things to your attention. And certain instructions that are very specific on that local church and local assembly. Certain instructions. Look at the book of Revelation, for example. The book of Revelation has seven letters to seven churches in Asia, and each had a unique instruction. A unique instruction. Unique to each one. Which means that the utterance in one meeting will differ with another, to another. There are things, for example, when I hear people say, and I tell myself, this is not for our local church. I'll talk about that before we get this out of this conference. You have to judge all these utterances flying across the hemisphere. There are just utterances going all over the place. I'll give you warnings. Let me give you a few. You know, I've seen people, right, who began in the ministry well. It was an utterance that took them away. Prophecies. Because there are prophecies that are given by the flesh. Some are just people just wish you well. They'll use their tongues to precede their wish. Let me say, you didn't get that. They have a wish for you. They will start out with tongues. The wish now comes out in tongues. Selah. I've seen people like that. And I said, this is not the Spirit of God. I know this is not the Spirit of God. And they've been misled. In fact, there was one brother like that. He kept those things in one diary. He just didn't let me see the diary. One day I saw it. All sorts was spoken over him, O Zion. So you have to be careful. Don't say, I got an utterance. You say it in one meeting. Cool down. So, you have seven churches. And each had a peculiar instruction. In fact, if you look at, there are so many people who teach grace and all of that. I teach grace too. So not a disclaimer. And this particular book scares them. Because, you know, you've heard, there's nothing wrong with you. You are born of God. When God sees you, he sees nothing wrong. Then you now see Jesus say, I have this against you. You say he's not literal. he's not in the original books. He said, I have this against you. In some instances, he said, you have done well here, you have done well there. In an utterance, in a vision. And look at the mode. And look at the modus. The modus was not even that everybody found in their spirit. No. He said to John, John said it to the messengers of the churches who delivered it to the churches. Look at the protocol. These are not things you will sense in your spirit on the Lord's day. It was said to the church. Said by those who are in authority to say it. So I was not scared about it. To the church in Ephesus. He says, nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. To the church in Smyrna. Beautiful. Commendation. Pergamos. Verse 14, I have a few things against you. To the church in Thyatira. I know your works notwithstanding. Verse 20, I have a few things against you. Can go on and on. Chapter 3, Sardis. Some were criticized. I mean, some were critically examined there. But Avenue was a good one. Philadelphia. You have kept the word, but there was a warning in verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. To Laodicea. From the beginning, that one collected came. Those ones say, because as you see, I'm rich. Say your works are neither cold nor hot. Look at specifics. Specifics were given to different churches. So, we must be thus open. Open to see that the Spirit of God does say things to us. Areas where we might correct, we have to. And I say this often, you have heard me say it. When an instruction keeps coming back to you, it means you have not been obeying it. Never forget that. And so in praying and waiting on the Lord, He has asked us to walk in supernatural order, or order by His Spirit. So I'll be teaching a whole lot in this conference on the subject of order. What's the order? Order by the Spirit of God. Order. Order is part of the Christian walk. When you hear order, what comes to your mind is a disciplined routine, a predictable pattern on how things are done or should be done. Order by God's Spirit means that you and I begin to order our lives by the Word and by the leading of the Spirit. Like I said, I'll get into specifics as we go. So I want to touch on something tonight into the morning. And that is order in your personal life. Order in your personal life. You cannot have a life of disorder. One of the ways you will know that the Spirit of God is either being neglected in a place or among the people is when there is disorder. Paul says that God is not an author of confusion in the churches, but that of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 is not an author of confusion. Where you find unruly, disorderly, something is missing. So, in 1 Corinthians 14:40, after teaching the use of, if you look at the background in chapter 11, where he talks about the issue of food, dressing, and all of that, then chapter 12, now concerning the things of the Spirit that we have ignorant. He caps it up in chapter 14, verse 39. He says, compared to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things, or better construction, all these things. Now listen carefully. These are supposed to be what we call gifts of the Spirit. Tongues by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Ghost. I'm led. Oh, I have an utterance. I have a tongue. I have the habitation. Say, let all these things be done decently and in order. What decently means something done properly, the way it ought to be. Listen, we have to find out from God's word how it ought to be. How? You cannot change a man's living room in his absence. You can't get to someone's house and say, I don't like where your TV is. You say, are you okay? Did your head eat somewhere? You can't say, well, I don't think. I mean, there was somebody that was sharing the word with me. He said, well, I get what you are saying, but I don't think. I said, who are you? I said, the Bible says, say you don't think. Don't let me say what I said. I said it in Yoruba. I don't know how to say it in English. That's why I didn't say it. Decently. The way he wants it to be done. In Romans 13:13, that word was used by Paul, same Greek term, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, in drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in envying and strife. The word honestly there is the word properly. In 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that we may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. To walk properly, the way it ought to be. The second word there, it says order. Order is from a Greek word taxon. Taxon is oftentimes used in the military, where you follow a particular pattern, a system, where you don't cross the line. Order. Taxon. It's used by the writer of Hebrews after the order of Melchizedek. You see a couple of times. Let me just check that for you. Hebrews 5. Verse 5. No, verse 6. The order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5:10. The word taxon. Pattern. And so on and so forth. Then in Colossians 2:5, Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding what? Your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Some verses will say, discipline. Discipline. Beholding your order. Now, what we are saying is, order personally. You as a person. Let me track back again and say something I didn't say earlier. You know, it's good we are all hearing the word. We have a great time, maybe at this conference or believers convention or church services. Have you bothered to once sit down? That is, you are not preparing to preach or excel at what you've heard and say, is there anything the Lord is bringing my way with what I just heard? Anything he's correcting? Is there any part of my Christian walk that this sermon, this teaching is addressing? You know, those are questions you may not ask yourself. I remember in Deeper Life in those days, when they draw up the sermon, the Bible study outline, the question is, anything to be corrected? Everything is not goody-goody, a smoothie-smoothie. There are several times. Look at all the Pauline letters. More often than not, there was something to be corrected. So when you hear God's word, what areas are being corrected? The worst thing you can do to yourself is to hear the word for somebody else. To have somebody in mind when the word is taught is the beginning of insanity. Have nobody in mind but yourself. Oh, assuming somebody gets up now and starts talking about fervency in prayer, and you have just prayed 30 hours. You know, it's very easy to say, that is not for me. No, it's also for you. Because it will come, one, to keep you steadfast. And two, to keep you in check, lest you stray away from that which you're already doing well. So don't just ignore our words. Not me. I'm already a faithful believer. No. I've told you before, faithfulness is not in the past. Faithfulness is what you do to the end of your life. So don't hear God's word for someone. Don't listen to preach. Even though when you do the word, you preach it. But first things first, ask yourself, Shagu, exactly what is this addressing for you? Don't hear it for somebody. Don't hear it for another church. Don't hear it for another ministry. Don't have somebody in mind. Before you share your pastor's post, have you read it? Before you comment and obey the last order, thank you, sir, it's a blessing. Have you read it? How many times have you read the word and then you prayed over it? I remember something, bro. Pastor Kumu, you said in those days. Then he reversed the order of announcements. The church should stop doing announcements after teaching. And they asked him why. He said, when you hear God's word, what you ought to do next is pray over it. That oftentimes when those announcements come, they take our attention away from what you have heard. That's why the people have meetings. I don't know whether they still do it now. They usually don't close the service. After you hear the teaching, people will stay and pray. Then we go, as we are finished praying. I believe that's a good culture. And even though you may not do your services like that, but don't let the word of God just go like that. There should be something you are doing that keeps the word in the heart of men. Look at the parable of the sower. Satan came immediately. Immediately. So if you are going to have leaders meeting after church, or zona meeting, or workers meeting, ensure that what was taught in the service is repeated there. Don't just sit back and say, have you given your pledge? Okay, so have you pledged at all? Where's the national anthem? Don't drift into the flesh. Stay in the spirit of the service and yet do what you want to do. Conduct it. So, hear me. Before you share the post, before you send a link to somebody to listen to, before you buy a book for somebody, before you give books to people, have you read it? It's like a medical doctor. I think there was something Dr. Fred Price wrote in one of his books. I forgot. I think it's How Faith Works. Said a guy has maybe a medicine. He tells everybody he's feeling fever himself. He says, this thing can cure fever. He gives this person. Gives that person. He said the man would die in the fever. Not because he doesn't have the medication, but simply because he has not taken it himself. So the man of God must take it for himself. As we are speaking now, some of you are struggling with sleep. Listen, don't laugh. It's also an area the Lord is working in you. It's an area. Don't think, I was just tired. No. It's not you're just tired. You were not disciplined. Not that you're tired. You should be tired. Tiredness is because you are human. But discipline is what makes you Put aside the tiredness and focus on why you are here. So, personal order as a Christian. Judges 17:6. Judges 21:25. There was no king in Israel. Each man did as it was right in his own eyes. Go and check that script. Open it. If you can. Judges 17:6. Judges 21:25. As it was right. You know, that is the age we are in. People do as they want to. You know, there was somebody who was trying to do something on social media about a church and ministry. So I called the fellow and said, why did you do this? The Bible says, sir, I don't think that the Bible is all we should read. A Christian and a pastor, maybe a former pastor. Yeah, I don't think so. I think we should expose our mind. We should read wide. I said, read wide. In fact, somebody told me, he said, even the Bible did not envisage this age. Yeah. You know, when people talk like that, don't go further in that conversation. It will increase ungodliness. Because you will say nonsense. When you have seen nonsense, don't engage the discussion again. I said, bless you, sir. There was no king. Melech in the Hebrew, which means there was nothing in control. Each person did as it was right in his eyes. Now, imagine what that means. In a nation of millions, there's no discipline. There's no rule. Somebody can just wake up to and then take his child and marry his child. Somebody can just get up and do what they like. Each man did as it was right in his own eyes. Listen to me. This is the spirit of this age. I can say what is on my mind. No. The Bible says you renew it. There's nothing called liberty to say anything in Christianity. I'm not even talking about in church. Even in your workplace, everybody is voicing their right and privilege. They are saying, no! Hey! There's a king over your life. I said, there's a king over your life. You don't say anything that is just right in your eyes. No! There's a king over your life. Say, I'm just saying my mind. No! Romans 12:2, renew your mind. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put away from your lips, your mouth lying. Put away wrath. Let no corrupt communication, Ephesians 4:29, proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 5:3-4, it says, no coarse jesting that is not convenient. There are things you cannot say. There are things you cannot laugh about. And hear me. What I'm talking about is not just your conduct in church. Is when nobody's there. Today, we have access to information. Open your phone. I saw some of you in the middle of prayer. You were checking your phone. How bad has it gotten? You know, if you are before a notable Nigerian or an African, maybe the president, you can't check your phone. No, you can't. In prayer, it shows there is disorder in your life. There is disorder in your life. Put up the phone. You won't die if you do. There's disorder. Some people in service, they are teaching and they are tweeting the snippets. That means you are not listening.
When the word is coming, you are praying under your breath. Meditating, not tweeting it. No personal life. Are you feeding on the word? Yourself. Thank God for World Changers Conference. Well, yearly we come here, we labor in prayer. But let me ask you, as a person, do you pray? As a person, my training as a Christian, and I've done this for this conference for many years, before this conference happens, I pray everything we are praying before it happens. Easy training. What I was told was, if they ask you to lead a 3-hour prayer meeting, you pray that 3 hours first before you lead others. I've been here for about 3 days before you all came. I've been doing vigils regularly. Not to come here alone. No! That has to be your personal life. Order! Because hear me, if you don't do the truth, and you share the truth, people will live in the truth and you will not live in it. Because even if you are a bad messenger, as long as the message is true, it will work in people's lives. Order. If you have found yourself sleeping in this service, that means there's something that needs to be corrected. Don't give an excuse. Don't say, I travel from a far place. I used to this, I used to that. Mm-mm. The moment you start giving excuses, you can never take correction. I used to call it exusitis. Give excuses. Order. So, personally, ask yourself, when you do study group assignments in church, apart from writing it well, what area is this teaching addressing? Which area is it addressing? Which area of my life is it addressing? Whatever is lacking in my faith, which area is this instruction addressing? I'll go back to what I said earlier. No king in Israel. Everybody did as it was right in their eyes. Someone once told me. He said, I believe that the social media is the move of God. I said, why? He said, because people can say what is in their mind. Are you well? How can you say, because people can say what is in their mind, that's the will of God? Have you seen where people said what was on their mind in the Bible? That was how they crucified Jesus. That's democracy. That's it. No. You speak according to God's word. That is why you train your speech according to the word. Now listen. They can call you all sort of names. Spirit. Yatu. To Celestia. Not Celestia Church. You are too heavenly. Come down to the earth. Let's be real. Mm-mm. I want to be a real Christian. I want to be a real Christian. Put the word. Because when you put the word on you, what you are simply saying is, I am renewing my mind and causing myself to walk in the word of God. Let me bring this by the Spirit of God. As a remembrance to many of you, you have dropped some habits you had when you were younger. When you were more quiet, you filled your thoughts with the word more often, you watched the things that you were saying and the things that you were thinking. Now you've allowed the world, its lust, to overcome your mind. Now you are giving reasons. You have a logical reason, sometimes even twisting scriptures and getting people to support your behavior. But hear ye the word of the Lord. You know where you are falling. Go back there and make a correction. Can I have an amen? Amen. Personal order. Personal. Let me throw this as a question to you. Are you walking in all the light that you have? I had a friend, he's late now. Call him Bishop, Pastor Larry Amusonden. He used to say something that blessed me. He said, even when you are ignorant, because we are all going to be ignorant of something, ensure you walk in all the light that you have. You see, before you ask for more light, what have you done with the one you have? Have you walked in it? Some say, sir, I want to know the depth of the power of God, the deeper depths of seeing and knowing and sensing and sensibility and sensory perception. I say, come here. When last did you talk to an unbeliever about Jesus? You know, the light you have not walked in it. Walk in the light that you have. Make sure you are doing that. Walk in the light that you have. James 4:17 says, he that knows good and does not do it, to him is a sin. Let me add this. You know, on two occasions, in Matthew 10, when Jesus sent the 12 out, then he said, oh, if they don't accept you, he said, shake off the dust of your feet. And then he said, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah for them in that day. Look at what he said. He made a comparison. He didn't say it will be like, he said, more. Now, in chapter 12 of the same Matthew, when they asked for a sign, 12:38-39, I said, there shall be no sign given you but the sign of prophet Jonah. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 years, so the Son of Man be the head of the earth. He said, the people of Nineveh will rise in judgment. Listen carefully to that. Why? Because they believed in the preaching of Jonah. Listen to this very well. You see, other Christians will stand as judgment against you and I, who maybe have been in worse situations, yet obeyed God. Maybe I've been in more cruel circumstances, yet obeyed God. You know now, somebody was telling me, he said, you know, it's not like those days now. I've had 3 children. After 3, I can't be praying like those young girls. Shame on you. There are people who have 9 children and do 24 hours prayer every week. There are people, I remember one day when I was in Lorraine, and we were at the prayer ground. I want to go and pray myself, Father Nash, which is calling Father Nash, head of the prayer group. So we went to the place to pray. So it started to rain. And of course, if you ever school in Lorraine, you know that rain is usually used to be a scarce commodity. So the rain used to come out heavy. So we said, you know, we can't have a prayer meeting today. Let us do it tomorrow. As we were leaving, they wheeled somebody in on wheelchair who was going to start praying. Except you are not born again, that sin should not leave you. So as a Christian, there are people whose Christian lives stand as a judgment for you. Oh, you are very busy. You are a medical doctor. You will now see doctors in mission field. You are very busy. You are old. Can you serve God? Maria would enter. She was already a grandmother when she began ministry. What about Caleb in the Bible? Because of my engagements, because so forth. There is someone who is a prime minister of a nation that goes on mission work. You can go on and on and ask yourself that, okay, is this peculiar to me? No. No. Not at all. Whether it's marriage, job, or you have to leave your country for another place, there is no excuse that is strong enough. Because somebody somewhere stands as a judgment against you. I don't have food. And you know, I'm trying to hustle. You know, You know, what you call normal is somebody's luxury. Are you aware of that? I showed you the videos of China. Every time I show that video, it's about 3 years I've been showing it, people will say, the same people who go and be pursuing one useless excellence. Nonsense excellence. Excellence is to do the word and flow with the Holy Ghost. The excellence I chair is supernatural. Not one cheeky wicky parboiled, badly cooked, worldly excellence that unbelievers can match and beat easily. In fact, in some instances, they use unbelievers to do it. Rubbish. Saints Community Church will never have such excellence. Could I say amen or not? I'm the pastor. Deliberately. Nonsense. Whatever prayer cannot do, I don't want. I don't want it. Whatever I don't need to pray about to bless lives, I don't want it. Keep it. Check your life. There are people. Those of you came from Washington, there are people who came from far places to be here. They traveled and they've not slept. They have slept about every yesterday and they are here. Some of you, you did PWCC sleep. And you got here, you now did intra WCC sleep. It's not funny. Look at yourself. There are people who don't have your comfort, who don't have your privilege, who don't have anywhere to sleep tonight, but are serving the same Jesus. And they will stand in judgment against you. How can you lead a church because they don't have air conditioner? Are you a dead body that needs to be preserved? How? How? So say, well, you know, someone told me, said the seats in that church, he said, they are too close together. I like to have my space in church. I said, when you die, have your space. Rubbish and nonsense. The nations of the world, people sit on the floor. On the floor. You can't pray. 2 hours prayer. You are playing music in the background. And it's the music you are listening to. You are not praying. Moving your mouth. And there are those who stay in the bush. 12 hours. 20 hours. They will stand in judgment against you. Probably on campus. That those who don't even know where the school is coming from next session. And they are doing evangelism. Serving God. Even giving the little they have. They will stand in judgment against you. For every excuse you give, there's somebody somewhere who is doing exactly what you have refused to do. Hope you are following what I'm saying. Personal order. So write this down as we close. The scriptures that you know, that you have been taught, what have you done about it in your personal life? That you have been taught. In your personal life, what have you done about it? Number two,
even the things you have taught others.
A pastor, if I do this often for pastors, pastor told me, sir, this has happened. They gave me query at work. They sacked me. They said all that. And I asked him a simple question. Has this ever happened to a member of your church? He said, yes, sir. What did you tell the person? Go and do likewise. Is it not the word of God? It is, sir. Hey, go and do likewise. Hallelujah. Go and do likewise. You know, he says, hey, do it now. That is personal order. What you yourself have said, you have preached. Now, physician, act on the word. I would say, you yourself, that would be wrong. Quit it. To the word. The name of the spirit you have had, what have you done with it? For every little of the spirit, whether it's by inward witness or an utterance, it requires commitment and personal discipline. Many of you just gather utterances together, like storybook. You have books of utterance that if you leave the book alone, it's uttering. Yet, have you taken time? Have you taken time to act upon it? As a practice, I rehearse utterances in my mind. I say it to myself. I repeat it to myself. As a practice. Because you have to be dedicated to it. Personally, your consecration, something you said when you were younger, something you said in January, something you committed for 4 years ago, 5 years ago, always move with friends that help you keep your consecration. You tell somebody, but I told the Lord this is what I want to do for him. He said, leave that, cool down. He understands. That is an evil friend. Your friend should say, obey God. Your husband to be, or husband has been, what do you say in those days? Fiancia. No way, you don't know those terminologies. There are some way back, fiancee, and financier. Hallelujah. They are Greek words. So, anyone doesn't forget about it. Forget about it. There is a job opportunity in Australia. But when we were getting married, we knew that God told me to go to Sudan. Don't worry, you reach them by internet. No, sir. Get back to your consecration. It's a personal thing. Finally, okay, let me add this. Instructions you had been given before. What have you done with the ones you have? And you are seeking for another. Finally, in your local church. We'll see all of that later. A true test is your conduct in your local church. We'll see all of that. Now, I ask you as we close this morning, what is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit repeating to you, brother, sister, man of God, woman of God? What is the Spirit repeating to you? I believe in these days of praying, the ones we have had, the ones we are going to have, there are things that will just come as a flash. It's prompting your heart again. Reminding you. Sometimes He brings those things to your mind just to remain faithful. What is the Spirit saying to you?
I will tell you as your pastor, for most of us, not all of us, it's a time for supernatural order. By the Spirit of God, it will start in your personal discipline. Do you still wake up to pray like you used to? Do you still do your vigils every week like you used to? Do you still have this company of people that inspire you to walk with God? What is the Spirit saying to you? Which areas are lacking? What is He saying? I have this against you. You have not done this well. You have not done that well. You should have done that well. You have to watch it in your own personal life. Do the word. Do it. Obey God. Because you can be doing so for all of us, and you are not obeying God. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, let's pray. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit saying to you? Forget people clapping for you. Forget people calling you rabbi. Rabbi. Teacher. You are the man of our lives. We thank God for your life. You are a gift to the body of Christ. Leave all of that. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit telling you? What is the Spirit asking you to address? What part of your conduct in this conference? Laziness? Laxities? Have you seen? What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit saying to you? What is the Spirit saying to you? Are you a mere signboard? You tell others what you don't do. They do it and they are blessed. What is the Spirit saying to you? Let every excuse die in your mind. Let every excuse that is coming up in your mind die now. Let every reason that is arising against the knowledge of the Word of God, die in your mind now. You are honest. You are sincere. You don't lie to yourself. You are quick to repent. Let every excuse die in your mind now. Truth prevails in your mind. Truth prevails in your mind. What is the Spirit saying to you? There is the man people have seen on the pulpit. There is the man that you really are. What is the Spirit saying to you? As worldliness entered your heart, the cares of this life, this is our riches, lust of the flesh, as it overshadowed you, what is the Spirit saying to you?